The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently minus 13 degrees and sunny in Montreal. I'm Bogdan Litvinenko, and here are today's headlines. UQAM and the Quebec Native women call on the SPVM for closer collaboration. A military coup has erupted in Myanmar, and Canada is experiencing further delays in the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. We'll have the latest from Quebec. 890 new COVID cases were reported today, down 27% from yesterday's new cases. This is the first time since the implementation of a province-wide curfew that the number of new cases is below 1,000. There have been 32 new deaths, 14 of which have occurred in the past 24 hours. Doses of vaccine were administered yesterday. The total number of hospitalizations has increased by 8 from the previous day to a total of 1,144. The number of people in intensive care has decreased by 8. These hospitalization changes are something which Minister of Health and Social Services Christian Dubé says is encouraging. Turning now to the vaccination plan for the province, Quebec has modified its schedule. They are giving out all second doses as first doses in an effort to vaccinate as many people as possible, creating a fair level of immunity. Our reporter Nicole Alexakis is here. Hello, Nicole. Can you tell me more about this?
Hello, Bogdan. Well, as of January 31st, approximately 238,000 people have been vaccinated in Quebec. The vaccination schedule calls for a second dose of the Pfizer vaccine to be given 21 days and the Moderna vaccine 28 days after the first dose. Pfizer is encouraging Canada to follow the Health Canada authorized dosing intervals. I spoke to Fanny Tapinoglu, who's a nurse at Vaccination Mobile. She believes that delaying the second dose will allow us to get back to reality and out of lockdown.
Well, because if everybody gets the first dose, everybody's like, immunized for like 89%, 90%. So it creates a good background, pretty much. But I know we'll get the second dose, but I think it's less urgent that everyone gets the second than the first.
So how do people in Quebec feel about the delays of the second COVID-19 vaccine?
Well, many people in Quebec have mixed feelings towards the vaccine. People are really anxious to get the vaccine, but some aren't. I spoke to one person in Montreal, Alexis Lecuyer, and he doesn't see a point in receiving the vaccine since he won't be able to get the second dose in a while. He wants to wait as long as possible before taking the vaccine.
Now, for people thinking about receiving the vaccine, is there any information they should be made aware of?
For sure. After receiving the vaccine, they keep you under observation for around 15 minutes to monitor any side effects other than the common pain and swelling in your arm. Throughout the day, you may experience flu-like symptoms, but they should go away after a few days after the vaccination.
Thank you, Nicole. Montreal's annual St. Patrick's Day parade is canceled this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Over 250,000 participants usually attend Canada's oldest and largest Irish celebration every year on St. Catherine Street downtown. Kalani Dilarinaga makes the trip every year from Ottawa to attend the parade.
Super disappointed the Montreal St. Patrick's Day Parade isn't happening this year. My family is of half Irish descent, so we always dress in all green, we drink, we dance to Celtic music, we speak Irish amongst each other. It's so much fun. But, due to COVID, we have to take it safe and just celebrate from a distance and hope everyone stays safe.
The event's organizers are postponing the event until March 2022, since it will be too dangerous to host such a mass event in the coming months. Rwanda is currently under a 15-day lockdown due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Many services, including churches, have been temporarily closed. Michelle Manasi has more.
What used to be a place that echoed prayers and sermons is now silent apart from the chirping of birds. Under the current restrictions, all places of worship will remain closed until further notice. The guardian of a parish in Bukasera, Eileen Naisiman, says that before the pandemic, the church had so many attendees that they needed two services every Sunday. Since the church's pastor has returned home where he continues to do private services, she has stayed in the home beside the church to look over the property and to farm the crops around the building. She says they don't know when they'll be able to reopen again, and all they can do now is pray that they'll be able to open up soon. What used to be a place that echoed prayers and sermons is now silent apart from the chirping of birds. Under the current restrictions, all places of worship will remain closed until further notice. The guardian of a parish in Bucasera, Eileen Nyseman, says that before the pandemic, the church had so many attendees that they needed two services every Sunday. Since the church's pastor has returned home where he continues to do private services, she has stayed in the house besides... She has stayed in the home beside the church to look over the property and to farm the crops around the building. When it comes to the future of the church, she remains unsure of what is to come. She says they don't know when they'll be able to... She says they don't know when they'll be able to reopen again, and all they can do now is pray that they'll be able to open up soon. She says while the church does have some savings, they might not be enough to continue maintaining the church. But this tight-knit community has come together to support the church. She says they have now set up a phone number where you can receive donations from community members. As there isn't much work for Nyseman to do, she spends her days working crops on the property to provide food for the community. It is clear to see that in a time of hardship, this community has really come together to support each other during these difficult times. For Concordia News, I'm Michelle Malnassi.
A military coup is taking place in Myanmar today following alleged voter fraud in last November's general election. The democratically elected state councillor Aung San Suu Kyi is currently detained along with other senior officials from the National League for Democracy Party. Suu Kyi's party received 62% of the seats in Myanmar's House of Representatives, but the military says there was voter fraud and does not accept the results. The military has declared a state of emergency for a whole year. Suu Kyi received a Nobel Peace Prize in 1991 for her efforts to establish democracy in the country. She's calling on the people of Myanmar to protest against the army's takeover to prevent the country from returning to a military dictatorship. Telecommunications and internet access are also severely limited in Myanmar's largest city and the capital. The Burmese military has taken full control of the government and is not willing to step down from their position of power. The Quebec Native Women has partnered with UQAM researchers to bring the issues of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls back into the spotlight. They're calling for increased collaboration with the SPVM. Our reporter Evan Lindsay is here with the story. What sort of research was done by UQAM, Evan?
So there was a large focus on interviewing the families of these Indigenous women and getting their perspective on the issue, as well as analyzing the efforts that have been made since 2015 when the Montreal Urban Aboriginal Community Strategy Network and the SPVM signed an agreement to address these same issues. I did an interview with Mary Hannenberg, who's the vice president of the Quebec Native Women this morning, and she's told me that there's been very little improvement since this agreement. They want to, the SPVM to further recognize this agreement and lay out a clear and unique plan for dealing with these women.
Now, what is the future of this collaboration between the Quebec Native Women and UQAM?
There isn't necessarily going to be any more like direct research held, but the Quebec Native Women are very open to collaborating with UQAM and these researchers more in the future. They're really looking for, really excited about the opportunity to collaborate with UQAM because they feel like this coming from a more academic place, it feels more neutral and more fair, and like it gives a lot of support to their cause.
And has there been any response from the SPVM regarding this research?
Hannenberg told me no, not as of yet. However, they're very optimistic if they can continue to form these types of relationships with places like UQAM and other organizations throughout Montreal, that the SPVM may take more notice and they'll receive some sort of response from them in regards to this research and their recommendations. I've brought one clip from my interview with Hannenberg that is very important to her. She wants to stress that this movement and this call for collaboration with the SPVM isn't about calling them out.
But like I said, you know, it's not about police bashing. It's not about you know, attacking organizations. It's in the spirit of trying to work together and collaboration. I want to make that very clear.
That was Mary Hannenberg with the Quebec Native Women.
Thank you very much, Evan.
Thanks, Bogdan.
That was our reporter, Evan Lindsay. There is a disturbing social media scam targeting young women. Scammers are impersonating women in an attempt to make money through fake Just for Fans accounts. Gabriele Zambito has the story of one Montreal woman who's been dealing with this.
Martina Yacampo woke up to over 15 texts on Wednesday morning. The messages warned her that a suspicious Instagram account had been made in her name. To Yacampo's horror, she discovered that a Just for Fans account was linked in the fake Instagram's bio. The website advertised exclusive nude content at the price of $10.48 for 3 months. The impersonator had followed many of Yacampo's friends in an attempt to trick them into paying for content that did not exist. To make matters worse, whoever created these accounts was using photos taken from another one of her social media accounts.
But the really like scary part was that in a lot of those pictures, I was like 16, 17 years old, and they were pictures from when I had gone like on vacation. So it's really like disturbing to think that they're literally using pictures of children, because I was a child, I was 16, 17 in those pictures, and like sexualizing them and making people have to pay for them. It's basically, it's child pornography.
Yacampo urged her followers to report the Instagram account by sharing a message to her story.
I thought that like online, you know, a lot of people would just like mind their own business. Like they see something and they'll just like let it slide. Like they don't really care. But to know that a lot of people actually reached out to me, people that I had never spoken to, was like comforting in a way.
The Instagram account was deactivated within minutes. Upon further investigation, Yacampo discovered that the website was a Wix site pretending to be a Just for Fans account. After calling the Wix customer service helpline to let them know what had happened to her, she was able to take the site down. The Wix representative told her that this type of scam has been happening a lot on their site and they are taking it very seriously. Because the problem was solved quickly, Yacampo did not go to the police. But she remains concerned because this scam is reaching other people she knows. Yacampo says that the same thing has happened to her friend's sister. For Concordia News in Montreal, I'm Gabriele Zampito.
Recently, Air Canada, among other airlines, has canceled flights to the Caribbean and Mexico. Meanwhile, in the Dominican Republic, there are disputes of internal tourism regarding the country's beaches. Amanda DeFillo has the story.
This past week, a video was sent in to the popular Dominican Instagram news source at Somos Pueblo RD, which loosely translated means "We are the people," of a hotel allegedly denying beach access to people. According to law, beaches in the Dominican Republic are part of the public domain. Part of the law of coast states, every citizen has a right to its full enjoyment, except for the limitations imposed by national security, which will be subject to regulation. However, even with this law in place, it isn't uncommon to be denied beach access. Daniel Cabral has had a similar experience. Cabral says he went to a hotel beach with his family and a security guard came up to them and told them they had to leave because the beach was hotel property. They left, however, he says they were within the public 60 meters of beach. In other places, access is allowed but under guidelines generally set in place by the owners of the beachfront property. Annie Guillen owns an apartment behind a few beachfront properties. Guillen says guidelines are in place for the enjoyment of the beach. She says pets and food aren't allowed and that a schedule has been set up dictating the time when the beach can be accessed. She says she stopped going there due to the many restrictions, although she says she understands why some of them are in place. For Concordia News, Amanda De Fillo, Santo Domingo.
Since the beginning of the pandemic and the end of large gatherings, musicians have been learning to adapt to a new music scene. The social media platform TikTok has become an important tool for artists to get their music out to larger audiences. While some musicians love this new tool, others are overwhelmed by its recent effects on music. Anna Justin reports.
Seattle-based musician Caspian Coberly playing his 2019 song, Traveling Troubadour. Coberly has been playing guitar since the age of 5 and played his first live show at age 6. At age 20, performing for audiences is what he does. Now he hasn't played a live show in over a year. Many musicians have been filling these new gaps in their schedule by spending more time promoting themselves on social media. TikTok, in particular, has allowed several smaller artists to gain notoriety for their music despite being stuck at home. But this isn't Coberly's style.
I'm not really on social media that much. I don't know. Anytime I was kind of like doing a lot of self-promotion of myself through social media and stuff, it felt like weird to me. I'd probably be a little bit more against it than for it, for sure, because I already don't really like the app very much, but I think it's a good marketing tool for people to use if they are like comfortable with that.
While self-promotion on TikTok can make some musicians seem a bit pushy, others have a way of seamlessly presenting their content. I'm caught up, you ride my train of thought, I can't get off of. That was the song Two Sport by Atlanta-based musician Gus Glasser. Glasser has found recent success on TikTok, his videos garnering hundreds of thousands of views. Unlike Coberly, Glasser sees TikTok as strictly beneficial to the music industry.
TikTok is the first time I've ever had a community of people who I don't know with my music. Like, just putting my music out there on that platform has got attention from, like, just a lot of people.
Within the overwhelming world of TikTok, Glasser has managed to find a tight-knit community. For Concordia News, I'm Anna Justin.
That is your news at 11:30. Thank you for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Bogdan Litvinenko.